Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at FanRag Sports and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at FanRag Sports and the host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO here in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure you're following the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. 331-979-1369 is our text and voicemail line. We're doing mailbag all day today. So any of your questions, your comments, your voicemails, you want to send those to us, 331-979-1369 is the place to do it, as well as on social media at Locked On Bulls or on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. All right, so we're going to jump into as many mailbag questions as we can try and get to today. We've got text messages, voicemails, tweets, a mixture of a little bit of everything. Matt just quickly wanted to say, what's up? How you doing? I know you got to catch a flight, so this episode is going to be kind of a little bit weird for listeners. You're going to hear Matt for the majority of the episode, Matt and I. At one point, maybe at the back half of the episode, you're just going to hear me finish up things. But how you doing?
Doing all right, Jordan. Yeah, catching a flight out to New York this afternoon. Going out to help my brother pack up and move back to Chicago. So I got a little flight one way and then a road trip New York to Chicago on Wednesday into Thursday morning. So hopefully I will be back for Thursday's show, if not certainly by Friday. And in the meantime, thanks for holding things down, man.
Yeah, I got some things planned for Wednesday and Thursday. So listeners, we're still going to have episodes, so don't worry. Plenty of content.
Plus, our listeners get at least a two-day break of me yapping about, you know, telling them all to shut up about all these trades.
While you're gone, I'm going to try and convince them about a couple different things. Convince them that we're going to trade up. Convince them that LeVar Ball is not insane.
I might be on the road, but while I'm riding shotgun and not behind the wheel, I will be responding to any and all texts and messages on social media.
You are a hater.
All right, let's dive right into it. Here's our first voicemail.
Hey guys, Devin from Connecticut here. Looking to talk a little bit about Chandler Hutchinson out of Boise State, I believe it is. I heard rumors that he dropped out of the combine, potentially because some team between 19 and 24 had promised him a draft, promised to draft him. And I'm hearing the Bulls being thrown around as potentially having given him a guarantee. Just looking to talk about the likelihood of that being true, what the implications could be, and what his fit could be on this team. All right?
All right, appreciate you calling in, Devin. Devin from Connecticut asking about Chandler Hutchinson. Obviously, this is somebody that we talked about yesterday. Dropped the episode fairly later in the day, so I would assume that people that were sending us voicemails yesterday didn't get a chance to listen to the full episode. We touched briefly on his game, whether or not it was true if he received a commitment from the Bulls. The more and more I read about this guy, the more I find out that it seems like there was a commitment that he was going to be taken between 19 and 24, not necessarily if it's the Bulls specifically. But a lot of GMs, especially GMs of playoff teams, were talking to various reporters saying that they don't believe this guy is going to be there. Maybe if the Celtics were going to pick him, Warriors, teams like that, the back, maybe back five picks of the first round. I was telling you, Matt, as I was watching this guy's game, I got a little bit distracted from editing our episode from yesterday, because I was going through all of Chandler Hutchinson's game winners and highlights from last year, and didn't realize some of the tools that I think this kid has, and he could be potentially one of the hidden gems of this draft. And I know he went to a small school, he played in the Mountain West Conference, but man, this kid, I think the one thing that I really, really like about him that I didn't know is his ability and his fearlessness to drive to the basket. I think that's the most common theme out of anything that I watched of his highlight films, is he doesn't care who he's going up against. He's flying towards the basket at all times. And you like to see that, especially with a guy like Zach LaVine on this team, who's going to be a spot-up shooter and a guy that is going to take a lot of shots, maybe not drive as much. But that's what you want to see from your wing. You want a guy, the Bulls desperately need a guy that's going to drive to the basket and create some congestion, maybe open some things up as well for guys like Lauri Markkanen and Zach LaVine to knock down threes. But we said this before, if he's available, I'm not all that pissed. And this makes me think that maybe there's more of a likelihood that the Bulls take a center with their number 7 pick. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, if the reports are true that the Bulls are the team that made him an initial promise that if he's there at 22, they'll take him, I think that does point to the Bulls likely looking at a big with that number 7 pick, whether that's them getting lucky and Mo Bamba falling, or maybe they even actually value Wendell Carter higher than Mo Bamba. I mean, we've heard a lot about how the Bulls love Wendell Carter because he checks a lot of the boxes that this Bulls front office is usually looking for in the draft. So if Hutchinson is the guy that they really feel good about at 22, that could mean that they're looking for a big at 7, even if the guys like Ayton and Bagley and Jackson are off the board already. So I agree with you. He's a versatile player, and that's another key word for Paxson coming into this draft. Offensively and defensively, a versatile player, and the four-year player that Paxson and Gar tend to love when they're making their picks. So, I mean, to me, and you and I talked about this yesterday, I would encourage Devin to go back and listen to yesterday's episode about what exactly it means if this report is true. I still think that if the Bulls are the team that said, hey, if you're there at 22, we're taking you, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're done scouting other players and meeting with other players. I think it's not exactly a black and white situation like that. You know, everything is shades of gray when you have this month leading up to the draft, between the lottery and the draft, combines, meetings, all that stuff. So there are other wings that project to go in the late teens and early 20s. Jacob Evans is one that I've thrown out there. So I think the Bulls, you know, maybe Hutchinson, if they are planning on a wing at 22, he is their favorite of the bunch, but it doesn't mean that they're done scouting other guys at that spot.
Just in the simple case, if other teams are interested that are ahead of the Bulls too, like, that's something that needs to be considered as well. Like, other teams are going to notice that this guy had a pretty decent combine. He shut things down early because of this, and I don't know if the Bulls are that team that gave him that commitment or not, but it was certainly said between 19 and 24 that somebody gave him a commitment should he be there. But I'm with you. I think you open up all of your options at 22, and for me, a guy like Chandler Hutchinson, a four-year player, he's more of a plug-and-play type of player. If we're talking about the Bulls taking a project at 7 in terms of a project, I'm talking about like a 19-year-old kid that's going to be need a few years to really acclimate himself. But this kid at 22 years old, coming in, having the best season he had in his entire college career, I think that's part of it too. Taking a wing that the Bulls desperately need, if you can take that kid and he can turn into playing 20-25 minutes for you in his rookie season, I think that's more of a sure thing. And the Bulls taking maybe a little bit more of a risk at number 7 by taking a project, maybe if Mo Bamba slips to 7, or a guy like you had said in Wendell Carter Jr., or maybe even somebody in like Michael Porter Jr., should he slip to 7. But like I told you, and maybe I'll do a video thread today on our Locked On Bulls Twitter, just to kind of show you guys some of the things that I really liked from this kid's game. And it seems like the confidence has been built up a ton for him especially over his last season. So I can't certainly knock that as well. So like I told you yesterday on yesterday's episode, this is the kid that the Bulls are going to take at number 22. I'm not all that mad because his skills look pretty decent, and I think they can turn him into a solid rotation player.
For sure. All right, what do we got next?
All right, so let's go to a text message. This one coming from the 331. It says, would Dallas take a Lopez Holiday and 7th pick for their 5th overall pick to ensure the Bulls could land Michael Porter Jr.? This would not only give a chance for Dallas to be a little bit more competitive if they want to go after Boogie, but also give Dirk help on one last run. Let's talk about this because this is interesting too, because I've been hearing a lot of reports about Dallas having a ton of interest in Michael Porter Jr. and whether or not they're going to go and pursue not only DeMarcus Cousins this offseason, but DeAndre Jordan as well. So that could change up some plans as well. I still sit in the camp where I don't know if I want to trade up 2 spots, especially a ton like that, just to ensure Michael Porter Jr. is on this roster. Like, I still think that there is a ton of value that the Bulls can find at number 7 with the amount of volatility that these picks still have. What do you think about Dallas and Michael Porter Jr.'s connections there?
Yeah, and another texter we had either last night or this morning from 972 said, hey, Bulls fan from Dallas here, there's more and more steam picking up around Michael Porter Jr. So that, you know, that potential of maybe Dallas taking Bamba because they're done with Nerlens Noel and the Bulls getting Porter Jr. slid down to 7, assuming Orlando takes Trae Young, is perhaps less likely than it was, I don't know, you know, on draft lottery night. I mean, to me, I don't see it as Dallas thinking that Lopez Holiday in the 7th for 5 is really worth it. Lopez and Holiday are both aging veterans. I mean, like, you know, they're both on affordable deals next season, especially Holiday for his value. But then they'll both be free agents after next season. And, I mean, no offense to the Dallas Mavericks, but I don't think that getting Lopez and Holiday on one-year loans to add to Dirk and what that team and Dennis Smith and what they have right now is really going to turn them into a contender. I mean, this texter is saying give Dirk help for one last run. I think that's, in all reality, a joke. Look at the Western Conference right now. Dallas, as currently constructed or adjusting and adding to that roster, Lopez and Holiday, does not move the needle at all, in my opinion. So from the Mavs perspective, I don't think it's realistic. From the Bulls perspective, I mean, you're looking to trade Lopez and Holiday to add draft picks or young pieces to this rebuild as it is, at least one of the two, maybe in the offseason, maybe leading to the deadline. So that logically makes sense, but I don't know if those two players and the 7th are worth moving up to 5. Because honestly, the more I read about MPJ, the more I hear, I'm not convinced that the Bulls are that high on him. And I am not convinced that I am that high on him. We've talked about the injury risk, but there's also this kind of growing mentality that he has sort of this, you know, this personality of entitlement. And yes, he talked a big game at the Combine, but people really didn't love what they saw from him when he came back and had played a few games for Mizzou. There's word coming out of people within that Mizzou organization that he wasn't necessarily a great teammate, that people didn't love playing with him and working with him. There are some bad things coming out about Porter Jr. right now, and I'm not sure, you know, we've talked about the star potential upside. I don't think the Bulls are necessarily that high on him, and it's not like you can get great trade value for Lopez and Holiday, but to me, packaging both of them and the 7th to move up 2 spots for Porter Jr. is not the move for them.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. If we're talking about a different player, maybe somebody that the Bulls have fallen in love with, and I still
like I would do that for Luka. I would absolutely do that for Luka.
I think I would even do it for Marvin Bagley. Like if Marvin Bagley slid to 5, if that's an option and if that's on the table, sure, I'm down. If you want to trade up for him, in which I still have this weird feeling that even with the reports we heard throughout the year, throughout the Bulls season, that they really liked Marvin Bagley. If that was a guy that they could go get, they would. If he ends up at 4 or 5, I would I would imagine the Bulls pick up the phone and at least call and see if they can work something out to pick Marvin Bagley up. I'm with you, too. I don't know if the Bulls are as high as maybe fans are on Michael Porter Jr. And to me, the character issues, like I said yesterday about Luka Doncic, I'm okay. Like, to me, that's all smoke and mirrors. I think 18, 19 years old, there can be character changes made. Same thing goes with Doncic. I don't think that should completely knock. I would maybe look more towards the talent. And like I said, the injury issues, too, I think are a huge factor. And for Dallas, I think it's funny because Harrison Barnes has got one more year guaranteed on his contract and a player option for 2019-2020. Dallas has a lot of cap space, too, as well. So that's why I was talking about DeMarcus Cousins and maybe some of these other guys, stars that maybe they want to build to start competing relatively quickly. I don't think they're not doing this for Dirk. Let's be honest here. They've got a completely different path as well. I think the intriguing part for Dallas in this situation is pairing not only Michael Porter Jr. with Dennis Smith, but then figure out what you could do with Harrison Barnes there. And they might have a nice little young core going. So I just don't see it. I don't see trading up for Michael Porter Jr., especially with all the injuries. I think I'm with you in the consensus that, and this things could change in 4 weeks, but I think I'm with you in saying that I don't know if the Bulls front office is as in love with Michael Porter Jr. as maybe the fan base and some Bulls fans out there. So I would just say I would be cautiously optimistic, but I would not trade up two spots, Lopez and Holiday, just to move up there to take Michael Porter Jr. I think you can still find great value at number 7. And if they're going to move up, like you had said, Doncic falls or if Marvin Bagley falls, those guys are some of the guys that I would maybe consider.
For sure. All right, let's move on to another hypothetical here. This one comes to us from Daniel all the way in Australia. What's up, Daniel? On Twitter, Daniel asks, thoughts on a package consisting of a sign-and-trade with LaVine, pick 7 or 22, for an earlier pick and a prospect or two. Thanks, Daniel. From the Bulls' perspective, I think it would be hard. They'd be hard-pressed to find a team that would want LaVine in a sign-and-trade. What we saw from LaVine in his small sample size this season as a player coming off an ACL was not great. We've talked at length on this show about what exactly the Bulls and LaVine can work out contract-wise this offseason and have established that he is certainly not getting a max-level deal, and the Bulls have the leverage in those negotiations because the market is so strapped for cash right now. That being the case, I don't know that a team out there would really be wanting to bring in a only one year removed from a torn ACL Zach LaVine in a side and trade as a part of a deal where they're trading down. I don't see that as very realistic, and I don't think packaging him in a sign and trade plus one of those two picks is enough to get
the
that
one
done.
Thing I will say, how about this? How about Washington? Because Washington intrigues me whether or not they're going to mess around with breaking up John Wall and Bradley Beal, if they want to potentially break up that backcourt to shake things up. That could be an interesting spot if they want to sign and trade long-term. Look, I think the idea to sign and trade Zach LaVine before the draft, I just don't think that's realistic. Like we had said when we were talking about LaVine's contract situation, I think this is going to play out for a long time over the summer. Like, it would be nice if he would be locked up, you know, in June, and he can focus more so on his training than having to deal with contract negotiations. But we've heard from multiple reporters that they said don't be surprised if this thing gets stringed out and it's not till August till something's done. That being said, if the Bulls can find a suitable partner to take on an asset to sign and trade LaVine, like, you're going to have to get some decent value back. And if you really think that maybe something at the lower end of the lottery or where Washington's picking at 15 is worth that, and like, if we're talking about the Wizards in this case, maybe Kelly Oubre, and you do a swap for Otto Porter Jr., and they're trying to mix things up as well as the Bulls. Maybe you even incorporate a big man who they've complained about, John Wall's openly complained about. Maybe you include Robin Lopez in that package and you take on Jan Mahinmi. Like, there's movement that could happen with a team like the Wizards. It's an interesting possibility, but let's be honest. I don't think LaVine's deal is going to get done until probably August. Closer to training camp than maybe I would say closer to the draft. So I just don't see it either. like you had said, I think there's too many question marks, and I think the only team really that would be intrigued, and at the same time, like if a team's interested in Levine, I mean, they can offer him a contract this summer, and the Bulls would just have to match it. So you could play that game as well. So I just don't think the possibility of them being able to sign and trade Levine, especially with to move down from a team, especially in the lottery, I just don't see it. There's too many moving parts for me. We got to take a short break here, but when we come back, we're answering more of your questions. Mailbag questions. Remember, you can always hit us up at 331-979-1369. Text and voicemails. We'll be playing those as we lead up to the draft. So definitely send in your questions there. 331-979-1369. We'll be back in 60 seconds. Stay here with us at Locked On Bulls.
Follow Locked On Bulls on social media, on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls_Peck, and on Facebook at facebook.com/LockedOnChiBulls. Stay up to date with everything Chicago Bulls at LockedOnBulls.com, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts.
All right, we're back. This question coming from the 847. Once again, you can always send your questions in at 331-979-1369, text message and voicemail form either way. From the 847, it says, "Hey guys, love the show. Quick question, statement about the Bulls' upcoming draft. To me, it's got to be Mikal Bridges or Michael Porter Jr. Need guys that can create and or switch on defense. To me, a guy like Mo Bamba would be an awful pick for the modern NBA. He's probably a poor man's Rudy Gobert at best, and that guy can't even stay on the floor against teams like the Rockets and the Warriors. Just imagine Mo Bamba in this Warriors-Rockets series. He'd get run off the floor. What are your thoughts?" Matt, I'll let you touch on this one first.
Thanks for the question. I don't know if I agree with you. I think that Mo Bamba, I mean, the Gobert comparison is one that's being made a lot just because of the wingspan and the size. Yeah, there were times when Gobert struggled in these playoff series, but Gobert was also a defensive player of the year finalist. I mean, I don't, and to the point of, I think it's got to be Mikal Bridges or Michael Porter Jr. We already talked in this episode about our concerns about MPJ. We've talked about them in previous shows. Mikal Bridges is a name that was really popular because it seemed like he would be around there. Maybe, you know, once the Bulls fell to 7, not as much of a reach, a guy that checks a lot of boxes for the Bulls. But with all of the talk about the Bulls looking at Hutchinson and the fact that there is a deeper draft pool of wings late in the first round where they have that 22nd pick, I'm starting to think more and more that Bridges is not the guy they're taking. It's going to be Wendell Carter or Mo Bamba if he falls to them. I think that's what it's going to be. Your concern about Mo Bamba, I think you're selling him a little bit short. Yes, he's a project, and Wendell Carter might be a little bit more ready right now to contribute and has probably a little bit more offensive versatility than Mo Bamba has at right now at this very second. But if you're talking about the defensive end, yes, Wendell Carter could probably guard 3, 4, and 5, whereas Mo Bamba might not have as much of that footwork as Wendell Carter has right now. Both of them are still pretty fairly raw on that end of the field, on that end of the court. So I think if Bamba falls to 7, and again, it may be that the Bulls value Carter a little bit higher because he's from a blue chip program and because they like his character. They like the idea of playing him offensively, versatility wise, with Markkanen in the front court, having two bigs that can shoot and spread the floor. And that's something that Mo Bamba is hoping to be able to do at the NBA level as well. Carter's more ready for that right now. So I don't know who the Bulls value higher, if it's Bamba or if it's Carter. But I think your concerns about Bamba on the defensive end are misguided. I think he projects to be the big with the highest defensive upside in this draft.
Yeah, you talk about a shot blocker and a guy that's going to sit there and protect the rim for you. That's the one concern when you're drafting big men in this modern NBA. You want a guy that isn't afraid to come past the free throw line and to be able to guard at the perimeter and switch on guys. Let's be honest for a second here. There are very, very, very few NBA players who can consistently stop and defend the Warriors and the Rockets. These two teams are very different. That's not exactly a knock.
Yeah. I'm sorry, you got scored on by the Warriors and Rockets? Join the friggin' club.
So don't be so concerned with, I guess, trying to match up with the Warriors and the Rockets, at least right now. We're talking about a 19-year-old kid that's going to need 2, 3, 4 years of work to really get to the point where you feel he is matching up to his ceiling. And so that's my thing. Like, if you're concerned about him matching up against the Warriors and the way Rudy Gobert played maybe against them too, I wouldn't concern myself, because think about it. The Warriors, this is a generational team. You're talking about 4 superstars on one team, a team that is offensively sound, defensively sound, and a team that we haven't really ever seen something like this. So I wouldn't be so concerned about it. And to me, Mo Bamba, yes, he's going to be a project, but the one thing that he is touted highly for is his ability to protect the rim and his ability to block shots. His offensive game is going to be the thing that needs work, and that's been something that not only draft analysts but college coaches have said as well. He's got the offensive potential there. I think he's just going to have to work on that game. So, like, if his comparison is Rudy Gobert and that's what he turns into in the NBA, I mean, that's a pretty damn good pick if you can get him at number 7. So I wouldn't be so concerned about him not being able to guard in the playoffs, especially against some of these more competitive teams. I think those are things that they can work on. And like I said, the Rockets and the Warriors are completely different from anything we've ever seen in the NBA before. So I wouldn't worry or concern myself too much with that, especially with the timeline of where the Bulls project to try and start competing maybe 2, 3 years down the road, and when some of these guys do develop. So I understand your concerns, but I really like Mo Bamba's game, and I think he's a guy that, especially with an offensive coach like Fred Hoiberg, you can, if you bring in his defensive talents and his offensive game is something that you have to work on, there's a little bit more confidence that maybe Fred Hoiberg can do some things to turn up his offensive game.
Yep, I'm with you there. If the Bulls pass on Bamba at 7, I would be very skeptical of that decision. All right, Jordan, that's where I leave you. I got a flight to catch.
That was some good nuggets. Good thing somebody told you them.
That's not the first time you've said those are some good nuggets either. I guarantee you that.
All right, so Matt had to jump off and catch a flight, so I'm here to answer a few more questions just to kind of wrap up the episode. So these are coming from Twitter. This one from Colin Manning says, mailbag question, trying to figure out Garpak's performance at drafting Lowry last year. Do we know where he was projected to go last draft? Was he the consensus 7th pick, or did we reach for him, or did he fall? Was pissed at the time, but was a great pick. This is interesting because Matt and I, when the Bulls made this trade on draft night, I felt like I was in the minority when I was excited that the Bulls decided to actually pick a lane. Matt and I both, I think we got grilled a lot last summer talking about the packages that we required to get Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine, and what eventually turned into Lowry Markkanen. I think the thing that we were aggravated about is that the Bulls gave up their first round pick at number 16 in order to cap this deal off. It's interesting. Lowry Markkanen was very volatile when they were talking about draft slots and where he would have gone. I've seen mock drafts from last year that had him anywhere projected anywhere from 7 to 12. Teams and fits and things that they thought Lowry Markkanen could be. I think the consensus by draft analysts at this point were a lot of analysts were saying that, you know, he's going to have some work. And the one thing that they said he couldn't do, his biggest weakness was being able to play defense at the next level. I think by and large, Lowry Markkanen proved that wrong this year. And with a little bit of work, I think Lowry Markkanen's defense can be tremendous, and he's shown the ability to be able to switch off and guard. It's going to take some time, though, and let's be honest, the kid's just turned 21 today, actually on this exact day, so happy 21st birthday to Lowry Markkanen out there. But like I said, if we're talking about a reach, or if Lowry Markkanen wasn't necessarily projected to be at number 7, I would say, yeah, the Bulls probably reached a little bit on him in the draft at number 7 last year. And I look at it, and there was guys like Malik Monk and other players that went later in the draft that ended up not turning out to have a really great rookie year the way Lowry Markkanen did. I think if you go back and you redraft this 2017 NBA draft, Lowry Markkanen doesn't make it out of the top 5. And there's argument that Lowry Markkanen probably doesn't even make it out of the top 4, top 3. Think about that draft class outside of Jason Tatum and a few other guys, Markelle Fultz going number 1. Obviously, that wouldn't happen again. But yeah, I think the Bulls took a risk on Lauri Markkanen. And like we had said too, like Lauri Markkanen didn't even come for a workout for the Bulls. This was a guy that they had scouted all year, but really just didn't work him out when it came to combine time. We kind of talked about that too. That was, I think, large in part, they didn't really realize they were going to deal Butler until they actually did, you know, and that could have came along a few days before the draft where they didn't have time to scout Lauri Markkanen. This deal sort of just kind of ended up on their lap. So that's another factor as well. So yes, Karpacz deserves credit for drafting Lauri Markkanen, and whether or not he turns out to be a superstar is remain to be seen. But I think the ceiling and what we talked about yesterday in, you know, if you could go out and get Karl-Anthony Towns and you'd have to give up Lauri Markkanen, I think Matt and I both said vehemently no. Like, I don't think after I've seen one season of Lauri Markkanen, his absolute potential, I don't see them trading him, and I wouldn't want to trade him right now. So yeah, I think that's where I am. So if this, if the, you're talking about maybe potentially what the Bulls are going to take at seven here and a little bit nervous, yeah, Lauri Markkanen was projected to go anywhere between 7 and 12 last year. And after one rookie season, I don't think he makes it out of the top four. So yeah, they reached on him and they hit on him. So that's what we're saying here. If guys slip and it ends up being Mo Bamba, it ends up being Wendell Carter Jr., and it, or it ends up being Michael Porter Jr., whoever the case may be, the Bulls, I feel like, can't mess this up. The only way that I personally feel like the Bulls could mess this up is Trae Young's there at seven and they take Trae Young. I'm not a huge fan of Trae Young. I know Matt is not a huge fan of Trae Young either. I think more so it's not the pure scoring ability, because the kid can shoot lights out. I get that. I think it's pairing him alongside the lack of defense and thinking about all the money you're going to invest in Zach LaVine next year. And to me, that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you're taking a guy that's undersized, that was bullied at the NCAA level last year, and teams were figuring out how to take advantage of him on the offensive end. And so pairing that alongside Zach LaVine, I don't know. I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that's in the best benefit for the Bulls to do, but we'll see. Yeah. So yeah, if we end up with Michael Porter Jr., Mo Bamba, Mikal Bridges, Wendell Carter Jr., I think I'm all right. All right. Last question to kind of wrap this up. This is an interesting one, and I kind of want to curve this question a little bit to something I thought about last night while watching the Cavs and Celtics series. And while this could be far-fetched, and it was something that they were talking about not only on TV, but one of our texters brought it up. So, Tiago, all the way from Europe, one of our daily listeners had brought up the options that are available in 2019 and how maybe that can affect our 2018 draft. And so I think it's interesting. He brings up a few position players at each position. He talks about the point guards with the player option in Kyrie Irving, an unrestricted free agent in Kemba Walker next season, an unrestricted free agent in Klay Thompson, restricted free agent in Devin Booker, and then you've got a player option on Jimmy Butler, player option on Kawhi Leonard, a restricted free agent in Kristaps Porzingis, and a restricted free agent in Karl-Anthony Towns. He asks if any of these are potential free agents that the Bulls are going to go after next season. And while I think this is going to base a lot off of how the Bulls progress again this season, I think year two is really where you need to see another step taken, not only from Zach LaVine, from Lauri Markkanen, from Chris Dunn, whoever you take at number seven, and even whoever you take at number 22, and another step taken by Bobby Portis, Denzel Valentine. If they bring back David Nwaba, you really want to see what you have there in your core. That being said, I think an interesting point was brought up about Kyrie Irving. Let's say for instance here, the Boston Celtics win the NBA Finals. They find a way to upset the Warriors. They move on from Cleveland. The Boston Celtics win the NBA Finals without Kyrie Irving. How does that make him feel? How do you think that makes him feel? Does he decide that maybe this isn't the spot for me? I wanted this to be my team, and yet I'm sitting on the sidelines while these guys are outperforming. and some of these younger guys who they're going to have to make decisions this year, and especially some of their important key role players. Aaron Baines is a free agent, Marcus Smart, Terry Rozier, et cetera, et cetera. These guys are free agents over the next 2 years. So Boston's going to have some important decisions to make, too. You've got Gordon Hayward locked up long term. They also have a pick this year. They've got the Sacramento Kings pick unprotected next year. There's definitely things that they can do in order to keep Kyrie Irving around, but he's got a player option, like we said, in 2019. I mean, should he want to explore free agency and maybe go somewhere else if he feels frustrated that maybe he's not part of this core, Boston just doesn't want to spend a ton of money on him? I think that's somebody that I would be definitely interested in. I mean, when we heard the rumors before the Bulls traded Jimmy Butler about potentially Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving wanting to play together and pulling off a trade from Cleveland before he went to Boston, that certainly had me intrigued. And I love the idea of having Kyrie. I know the injuries and the knee issue is a problem, but that's somebody you could go after in free agency. I would be all on board for him. That being said, I don't think the Bulls are going to really necessarily look at the 2019-2020 free agency classes and really use that to try to tool the way that they're going to draft this year. Now, if you believe anything John Paxson says, and that I'll let you leave up to your own decision making, he did say they're going to take the best available player at number 7. So they're looking for pure talent over maybe fit, and whether or not things change over the next 4 weeks, we could certainly see that happen. But to me, like I said, if Mo Bamba, Wendell Carter Jr., Michael Porter Jr., any of those guys are on the board at number 7, I would be willing to bet most of my money that they're going to take one of those three guys, especially if this report about Chandler Hutchinson is true at number 22 and the Bulls gave him a commitment there. I think they find their plug-and-play wing at number 22 and they take a project at number 7. So no, I don't think the free agency classes in 2019 and 2020 really affect the way that the Bulls are going to draft at number 7 or number 22. I think it's fun to talk about, and it's going to be another step in the development, not only of how competitive this team can be, but free agency is weird too. These guys are going to be looking for places not only that they see fit, but most of these stars want to be the number one option on this team. And now, can you convince any of these free agents over the next 2 years that they're one, two pieces away from truly being really competitive in this Eastern Conference? I don't know. You've got to have a lot of optimism in some of these young guys over the next 2 years to really think that. Not to say that the Bulls can't draw a free agent or draw interest with guys like Lauri Markkanen on this team. And if Zach LaVine, should he resign to a long-term deal, him being here to be able to recruit, that's another option as well. But that's something to keep in mind as well. Like, not only the way that the front office tries to field free agents and tries to bring free agents into Chicago, but maybe necessarily the timeline too, where the Bulls are trying to be competitive. Let's be honest, if next year is a disaster again and the Bulls end up in the lottery once again, I don't really see a free agent wanting to come to Chicago on a long-term deal unless they're just looking to get paid in 2019. Most free agents want to go to a team that's going to be competitive. Obviously, money is a factor as well, but that's something that's going to have to be considered, is whether or not this team is truly competitive, taking another step. If we kind of see the same thing we saw in 2018, I don't really necessarily think that's going to be the case, but anything can happen. And so that's part of it too. So I think 2020, 2021 maybe is the more realistic options here. I'd rather see what type of development this team can put together with guys like Lauri Markkanen, their number 7 pick, their number 22 pick, Bobby Portis, Chris Dunn, Zach LaVine. Like, you focus on those guys for the next 2 years, and then 2020 is really when I think you can set things off, where you're going to have an explosion of money. There's going to be a ton of free agents that you can throw money at too. So when they re-sign Zach LaVine, if and when this summer they do, I think he's going to be an important part to the recruiting process. Not only him, but Lauri Markkanen too. And I mean, Lauri Markkanen's game speaks on the court more so than he'll need to do off the court. And maybe that's where Zach LaVine can pick things up. So no, I don't think, to answer Tiago's question, I don't think the Bulls are really thinking about free agency and whether or not this is something that they're going to have to consider when drafting at number 7 or number 22. Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. If you missed us this morning, you can catch us live on Thursday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, have a wonderful day, Bulls Nation. You can hit us up at 331-979-1369. Our text and voicemail line there. Remember, you can leave us all your voicemails, your text messages. If you want to tweet at us, you can do that as well. Answer as many questions as possible with the draft coming up. We're going to continue to do this leading up to draft night. So 331-979-1369 is the line to call and text. For Matt Peck, for Jordan Malley, we are out, Bulls Nation. Have a wonderful day. We'll be back tomorrow with a fresh episode and maybe a guest or two. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.